Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
You are listening to Metal Shop's Backstage Pass.
It's Metal Shop 99.9 KISW. An ultimate pleasure to have the band Sorsha in studio. What's up, everybody?
Hello.
Hello.
How's it going?
How you doing?
Thank you guys for coming in. And we want to put a spotlight on you guys tonight. You got a new album coming out March 13th?
Correct.
Self-titled record, Sorsha. First official album after the demo. Demo process is always fun. But before we start anything, let's kind of swing around the room. Say your name, what you do in the band, and so we can put a voice with a name.
My name is Neil Diatley, play guitar and vocals.
I am Jessica Brash, I play bass and vocals.
I am Bryson Marcy, and I play drums.
Well, congratulations, guys, on the new album.
Thank you very much.
How long have you guys been working on this one now? Obviously, since at least last year, I assume. 2019 at some point.
As a band, yes. Jessica and I have been writing music
since our early 20s together.
And
this is a long process. Drummers are a pain.
They are a pain in the ass.
Yes.
We all know that.
Yes.
So congratulations on the completion of that. So let's talk about the formation of your guys' band. So you kind of touched on that to begin with. And so tell us, how did you guys meet up? And how did you form this current lineup of Sorsha? Have you gone through member changes? Maybe we don't even care about that. How did you guys start? How did you meet?
I guess for the most part that Jessica and I have been in bands, and Bryson, since high school, right? So our bands would be playing shows together, and we just formed a friendship, and then started switching styles of music, and then realizing that we are all on the same path, and that's kind of how that all started. Long story short, but
the bells start ringing, things start falling into line.
Yeah. That's true. Yeah, Neil and I, we played in a band previous back in around 2005 that was kind of short-lived. We had a couple demos, but that broke up, and then we came back together after Neil responded to my Craigslist ad looking for a...
Unbeknownst to him,
super right. weird. I was like, "Neil, is that you? That's you."
That's wild.
Hey, and it was.
Why
it was
didn't you
totally,
just call me, man?
It clearly was meant to be at that point, and then we started writing, and then stuff with life kind of happened. We kind of had to put the project on the shelf for a little bit, and came back to it, and went through a few drummers, and ended up finding Bryson, who's an old buddy of ours up from out in the valley, and his band had just broke up, so I swooped on in and snagged him up.
So you guys
right
are from
my feet.
The Snoqualmie Valley area? Is that?
Yeah.
Duval, Carnation.
Okay, cool.
Yep. Yeah.
The flood zone.
You guys are keeping it alive out there, man. Like, is there a lot of heavy music going on out there?
There's always been a good heavy metal scene out there.
Really?
Surprisingly, yeah.
Wow. Always been a music scene out in the Snoqualmie Valley.
That's awesome.
We were talking about that last night, just going to all the local shows and being like, man, these bands are so good and so heavy. And when we were kids, thinking that.
Right,
it was really cool.
Well, Snoqualmie's got that flood metal going.
Yes.
That's what it is. It's a flood metal?
Swamp metal, yeah.
I like that.
You just named a new genre, dude.
Yeah. Flood metal. Oh, my God.
Awesome. Okay, so that said, shout out to the Carnate, your guys' area, because I know you got some people listening tonight. At least I hope so.
Yes.
And so you guys are putting that area kind of on the map for us. I'll be honest with you. I didn't realize there was a lot of heavy music coming out of that area. So
yeah, it's been happening for a while. I was in a band in high school out there. I graduated Cedar Crest in Duval, and we had a battle of the bands out there that my band actually, I think we won one of them out there. And
look at you.
But there was lots of bands. There was all kinds of bands and all kinds of musicians out in that area. Lots of different awesome bands. And that was kind of how I met That's how I met Neil, actually. Was he was playing in a band. Neil's from originally from Redmond, but oh. You were in living in Redmond at the time. But his story, he yeah. was in a yeah. death metal band, and they came out and did a Battle of the or did you guys play the Battle
yeah,
of the Bands?
Yeah, we played your high school Battle of the Bands yeah. for sure. We didn't go there. Yeah,
that was kind of how we met, because that scene in the Snoqualmie Valley was bringing these other bands from the area out for that, and right. that was how we met.
I think it's weird because I think my band when I play in Battle of the
Pull
Bands,
that mic up, man. There you go. Yeah, there you go.
When I think ours got last place. It was a different year, but I'm pretty sure it was last.
But
10
I'm sure
out of 10.
You still remain the in-demand drummer.
I guess so, yeah. There's a few hey man, far between
if,
out there.
If it makes you feel better, my band wasn't even allowed to participate in all the bands in my hometown. Right. So.
I can't believe we won. We were so shocked. We're like, how is that possible?
I love when that happens, though. It literally is like a spawning ground for all of the musicians that we mm-hmm. talk to. I can't think of like a local band that didn't participate in a talent show.
Yeah. yeah.
Or like some kind of battle, you know.
Yeah.
Battle.
Right, yeah. Right.
You got to take your knocks.
Sure. In my high school, for our Battle of the Bands, they barely even let us. They made us sit. They were trying to make the crowd sit on the floor.
That's terrible.
And, and I was like, can we at least just stand up?
Right.
Like, come on.
That's lame.
But I'm glad you guys are in it. So, like, what bands were you in at that point? You said you were playing in a death metal band when you were young. What formed your musical tastes now? Were you? Because I was a punk, dude. I was a punk. I was a pop punk kid. I like ska, I like country, hardcore, metal, everything. What was your original tastes? And no shame, dude. No shame.
Right. So for sure, it was like spending the summer with my dad at 8 years old watching MTV. That was like the Black Album.
Nice.
Lenny Kravitz, Aerosmith, like White Zombie. It was like a really interesting time of music, and Beavis and Butthead. And,
amen.
Yeah, Beavis and Butthead for sure.
So that's what sparked me in that direction for sure. And then getting into death metal, anything like underground was like Indiana Jones, right? Like you search and you find this gold.
You just unearth an artifact.
Right, and no one knows about it, right? And so like that was it. And then the Sleep Holy Mountain record was what put me in the
that's what corrupted you, yeah.
In the direction I'm in now, for sure.
Yeah, I grew up listening. Well, my dad was played in bands, and my dad was a musician, so he always and he had a great taste in music, so he was always showing us awesome stuff. He took me to see Ozzy and Sepultura and Typo Negative when I was 12.
Nice.
And
sick.
That was the
that
dude
was year,
I was
yeah.
just absolutely blew my mind. The heaviest thing I'd ever heard or seen, and that definitely was a game changer for me. And
yeah,
and just from being
in a
family of musicians, my brother was a drummer as well. My brother, I played in a band with him too. And yeah, just growing up in that musical family and being around heavy music like that, especially my dad showed me Black Sabbath. And but yeah, I got to credit Neil for showing me Sleep. That was
right.
that was the other game changer.
Hey, you know your parents are cool though too when they allow you to have a drum set.
Totally.
Oh yeah.
Only
no well, my mom was just tired of my brother hitting all the pots and pans in the house, so she's like, just get this guy a drum set already.
Yeah, I mean I just remember riding around with my dad in the car, and he was blasting Alice in Chains and Tool. And so I just, at a young age, started on that path, stayed on that path.
You knew you were in.
I knew I was in. And, and you know, over the years, as it does, musical taste changes. So I got into some kind of blues, some jazz, stuff like that, and just kind of integrated it in. But my heart's always been at the heavier stuff. So,
amen.
Hey, Jessica, would you mind talking a little bit about your dad's contributions to the gear side of the industry?
Sure.
You know Ryan's
figurehead.
A gear nerd, too.
All right. Yeah.
So a lot of people listening
to
too.
I'll try to keep this in a nutshell. So my dad, back in the early 90s, worked for Digitech DOD, and he designed a lot of pedals in the early 90s. He worked on the grunge pedal and that metal pedal. I can't remember what was that one called,
the Metal X.
He designed a lot of Stompbox pedal. He did the Tube Fex, which was endorsed by Tony Iommi.
Yeah.
And he also did marketing at that company. So he did a lot of the ads, like the magazine ads, like straight up would have did
so
all
like
that kind of stuff. So product development and artist relations and marketing. And then we lived in Mississippi for a while. He worked for PV in Mississippi for a bunch of years. That's kind of where a lot of the music for me started, was down there. And so we did a lot of product development there. The TubeFX was PV, excuse me.
That Mississippi PV factory, that's where the 5150s were born.
That
right?
is correct.
I have one.
Yeah. Yeah. Dude, everybody.
Everybody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I know he did work on the 5152. There's the little, but the little two.
The little,
little two. I know he did work on that one.
That's awesome.
But yeah, he designed a lot of effects processors for them, and then we moved up to Washington. The reason why I live in Washington is he got a job working for Mackie in Woodinville.
Wow. Cool.
Back when, you know, that was like 2002, so that was, or 98 actually. And yeah, so he's been in the music industry for a really long time. Because of him, I got to go backstage to a lot of shows.
So you got to see at a young age what goes on.
Yeah,
maybe good, maybe some.
Yeah,
bad.
It definitely changed. It definitely was. My dad's like, it's not what everyone thinks it is it? Yeah. I'm like, it's definitely not what everyone thinks it is.
It's just very cool that he's had that much impact on all these pieces of gear that all of us use.
Right.
Everybody listening to this.
Yeah. Well, one pedal, believe gear. It or not, and some people do not believe me, but he designed the Whammy pedal at Digitech, and when he ended up going on to start his own company, the parent company was XP Audio, but the pedal company was Morpheus, and he designed a pedal called the Drop Tune pedal.
Wow.
And he did a capo pedal, and he did a bomber pedal, which was a better version of the Whammy pedal.
So we'll have to bring him in here at some point.
Well, unfortunately, he passed away in 2010.
Dude,
no, it's okay.
just to frame this real quick,
Andy, go ahead and write.
Yeah, just to frame this for everybody listening, the Whammy pedal, that is what Tom Morello used on All the Rage Against the Machine mm-hmm. stuff.
Okay.
Let's see, Jerry Cantrell used it on a number of different things.
Dimebag used it
all over the place. It's a very iconic piece of guitar gear that has shaped and formed the sound of metal as we know it.
Absolutely.
So incredibly important piece of gear. So your father's contributions are very
big
deal.
And he was incredibly brilliant. What's that?
Glad you're carrying on the legacy.
Oh,
it's
thanks.
Wonderful.
I'm sure. I hope he's proud.
Let's shift this back to you guys. So we were talking about like origin stories and how you got into the heavy music style stuff. What are some of the bands, like, what are the styles that influenced the new Sorcia album that we're going to play a song off of here? And like, what are the styles that you guys consider your favorites now? Is it, like, low and slow? I mean,
we have a lot of various types of influences, but, I mean, we are huge Acid Bath fans and big Electric Wizard fans, Sleep, huge Nirvana fans as well.
Melvins.
We love that, just that, you know, we like doom too, but, you know, we like just that raw, heavy, loud sound, you know, like, and kind of weird, as long as, you know, keep it weird too, but, you know.
Yeah. Well, you got to keep it a little weird.
It's weird, like, we keep getting it at these shows, people keep coming up to us and telling us that they think we sound like Acid Bath, which is people
huge
don't even understand how much of a compliment
pops.
That is to us.
Yes, sir.
We had it last night in Port Angeles, this gentleman came up and was like, do you know who Acid Bath is? You guys sound just like, and we're like, holy
smokes. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. So, like, everyone says that to us.
So the more punk side of doom.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'd say so.
A little bit of
stoner rock in there too.
Yeah.
Yeah, we like Archaeus and stuff like that too. Yep. But lots of different types of influences there going in.
So you guys recorded with Tad, though, correct?
Yeah. We did.
So you did that recording, Witch Ape Studio?
Yes.
Is that where that is?
Yep.
How was it working with Tad?
It was awesome.
Pinching ourselves,
Yeah, it was
I could see
awesome.
Everyone's like, are you still a little fanboyed out about that?
A little bit, yeah. Like, just walking in there was just kind of like, this is...
We're in this house,
this is,
you know.
This is
just
weird,
like,
but
trip,
awesome.
You know?
It was really cool. It was really cool.
But we knew you know, Tad, you know, he's obviously a, you know, he's... You know, he's Tad, you know, everyone, you
yeah,
know,
he's Tad.
That's all you got to say.
But we chose him because we knew that he would understand the sonic, like the sonic heaviness that we were trying to achieve with the sound of the record. Because, you know, Brothers of the Sonic Cloth is an incredibly heavy band, and we love the way that album sounds. And so we definitely wanted to work with him because we knew that he would get it, you know, and he would understand our vision there.
Yeah.
So, do you guys have a release plan to come? I see you guys got a couple of shows coming up here in early March.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You guys are playing in Portland, High Water Mark, coming up March 6th, and then Slim's Last Chance.
Yep.
That's my neighborhood spot, dude.
Oh, yeah?
Right on.
Yeah, I'm going to have to come down and see y'all.
Please
Sweet.
Do. Yeah,
the March 7th will be our CD release show.
Who else are you guys playing with on that one?
Our good buddies, Grim Earth. Okay. We've been playing a lot of shows with them. Super good buddies. Check them out if you have not listened to them.
They're awesome.
Super awesome dudes. Great band. We're bringing a band out from our neck of the woods, up from Snoqualmie, a band called Mother Root.
Okay.
Great two-piece from out in Snoqualmie.
And a couple
brothers. And then awesome. Stav is actually, he's doing a tape release that night as well.
Okay.
So we're happy to have them out. And yeah, our first time playing at that venue as well. So.
And then for people in the South End, Tacoma, Plaid Pig.
Club.
April 2nd. That place is really cool too. I went down there on their first weekend, and dude, that's a super legit spot right
good
down
to know.
There at
we
South Dakota Way.
So I've
not played there yet.
It's super fun.
Yeah.
Keep your head on a swivel.
All right.
Gets a little bonkers down there sometimes.
Perfect.
You know what? I'm so stoked that you guys are in here. Thank you for coming down all the
way down. Of
course,
thanks for having us.
Thanks for having us.
It's a pleasure. The record release, March 7th at Slim's Last Chance, which is kind of like the Soto area,
mm-hmm.
yeah. Down in Seattle down there. You know, I'm super proud of you guys and stoked for you. Congratulations again on the album.
Thank you very much.
Do you guys have any, because we're going to have you again at some point. I guarantee you this. I want to see, and we're going to try and support like the progression of your guys' career. So I'm really looking forward to you guys' trajectory.
That's awesome. Really nice.
Thank you very much.
It's going to be really cool.
Nice, yes.
So do you guys have any, because we're going to play the first track that's up on you guys' Bandcamp, and we'll post a link to that right after this here on Metal Shop. It's called Nowhere But Up. Off of the self-titled Sorcerer record. Do you guys have any final words for your hometown, for the Northwest audience, or anybody, any metalhead listening to Metal Shop tonight? Or
praise Iommi.
Yeah. All hail the riff.
I'll put that on my tombstone.
I guess I'll go a different way. Thank you for listening.
Yeah,
and,
thanks for listening.
And tuning in and supporting us. It's been a lot of fun, and it's going to continue to be fun. So.
Good. Keep up that momentum.
Thank you.
You guys are awesome.
Thank you very much.
Thanks for having us.
All right, here's Nowhere But Up, the first single off the new Sorcerer record. This is Metal Shop on the Rock.
Shop's Backstage Pass.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.